Let's read together Psalm 51. In this penitential psalm, David confesses his great sins of adultery and murder and pleads to the Lord for mercy and cleansing and restoration. Let's begin by reading the first 17 verses of this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Let's begin our study of Psalm 51 with some background notes. We don't have to wonder about the occasion of this penitential psalm in which David is confessing his sin. We are given the occasion in the title of the psalm. Let's look at that title. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And the term blood guiltiness in verse 14 refers to David's murder of Uriah. This psalm was written as much as a year after David's great sins of adultery and murder, because according to 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, Nathan came to David after the child had been born. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And chapter 12, verse 1, then the Lord sent Nathan to David. And we know from the following verses in 2 Samuel chapter 12 that when Nathan confronted David, he used the story of a rich man who had many flocks and herds, but took a poor man's one little lamb and killed it in order to provide a meal for a traveler. David rightly said that this rich man should make restitution fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. Nathan then looked at David and said, "Thou art the man." At this point, David did not try to justify his sins or hide his sins any longer. We read in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Soon after these events, David penned this psalm in which he confessed his sin and prayed for forgiveness and restoration. Now, just before we go to our doctrinal points, we should explain verse 5, since some folks have wrongly interpreted this verse to say that sex is sinful. Verse 5 of Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. This verse is not saying that sex in marriage is sinful. No. David is speaking here of the sinful nature that everyone possesses from the time of conception. We don't become sinners when we sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature. We are conceived with a sinful nature. Ever since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, everyone, with the exception of our Lord, has inherited a sinful nature. from the moment of conception. By the way, notice how this verse supports the pro-life position. It clearly teaches that human life begins at conception. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 51. Doctrine point number one, unconfessed sin in a believer's life results in guilt and broken fellowship. Unconfessed sin in a believer's life results in guilt and broken fellowship. Psalm 32 was also written by David in reference to his sins of adultery and murder. In Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, David wrote, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. David's unconfessed sin resulted in guilt, which took a major toll on his life, as we see. Here in Psalm 51 and verse 3, we see that these unconfessed sins were constantly on David's conscience. Verse 3 once again, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Besides a guilty conscience, David's unconfessed sin resulted in broken fellowship with the Lord. Verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Now, in light of the further revelation of New Testament teaching, believers today do not need to pray this prayer because we are assured of our eternal security and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us permanently. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Ephesians 4:30. And even though the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5, our fellowship with the Lord will be disrupted when there is unconfessed sin in our lives. David longed to once again have the joy of the Lord and to be able to praise the Lord. Verse 8, "Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice." Notice how broken fellowship with the Lord is likened to the pain of a fractured bone. Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Notice how in broken fellowship with the Lord, you lose your desire for the Lord's things. And verses 14 and 15, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." All of these blessings are lost when there is broken fellowship with the Lord. Unconfessed sin in a believer's life results in guilt and broken fellowship. Doctrinal point number two, confessed sin in a believer's life results in joy and restored fellowship. Confessed sin in a believer's life results in joy and restored fellowship. In David's confession of his sins, there are no excuses or attempts to pass the blame on to someone else. Notice it is my transgressions and my sin throughout this psalm. Now, do we take that position when we sin, or do we make excuses and try to pass the blame on to someone else? David cried out for mercy and for the Lord to be gracious to him, knowing that God was completely righteous and blameless in judging him. Verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Although David sinned greatly against Bathsheba and against Uriah, David realized that the heart of the matter was that he had sinned against God. Verse 4, once again, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." In verse 6, we see that confession of sin must be with complete honesty. You can't play games with God. He knows all about the details and circumstances surrounding our sins. Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." For David to just bring the right sacrifices without a broken spirit and contrite heart would not be pleasing to God. Verses 16 and 17. It would be like going to church today, but not repenting of our sins. Maybe our sin of hurting a fellow believer in our own congregation. Verses 16 and 17 once again. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. David knew that without God's forgiveness in response to his confession of sin, he was unclean. If there was going to be restored fellowship with the Lord, there had to be a moral cleansing. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop here refers to the branches of a plant that was used for applying the blood of the sacrifice and was used in the ceremonial cleansing of unclean lepers, according to Leviticus chapter 14, and in the purification from defilement associated with death, according to Numbers chapter 19. David realized how separated he was from the Lord and how desperately he needed to be cleansed in order for fellowship to be restored. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 guarantees our continual cleansing from the defilement of sin if we just honestly confess our sins to the Lord. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. 1 John 1, 9, confess sin in a believer's life results in joy and restored fellowship. Now what about practical application? From Psalm 51. You can't sin in a vacuum. You can't sin in a vacuum. Verses 18 and 19. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. These verses almost seem like they don't belong to this penitential psalm of David. What does the prosperity and blessing of Jerusalem have to do with David's confession of sin? The connection is twofold. Let's call it a prophetic aspect and the practical aspect. Prophetically, when restored Israel of the future confesses their sin of spiritual adultery and rejection of their Messiah, the Lord will forgive them and establish his earthly kingdom of blessing from his throne in Jerusalem. In reference to the practical application, David realized that as king, his sin affected the nation. He could not sin in a vacuum, and neither can we. Our sins will always affect others with bad fallout. Praise the Lord, David's restoration would bring God's blessing again to Jerusalem and the nation. But God could not bless the nation when there was unconfessed sin in the life of the king. Remember, you can't sin in a vacuum.